Always good to be here, RJ, as we come to you from Fox Sports Radio Studios in Vegas and LA. And RJ, we're going to answer the question that has made its way around sports talk radio circles all throughout the course of the day. Following another win for the Boston Celtics over the Detroit Pistons on Wednesday night, a 118-110 final, the question has now become, are the Celtics better without Kyrie Irving? What does Vegas say?
Well, I tell you, Colin Cowherd, I think he led off the show with this topic. We always like to counterpunch on Colin because, let's be honest, he's right a lot. But when he's wrong, it's fun to point it out. So maybe we should listen to Colin first and go from there.
Kyrie Irving's not a great fit with Brad Stevens, and they're not firing Brad Stevens. He's not a great fit. He's injury prone. He's kind of a me guy, and it's a we system. When Kyrie Irving doesn't play, they win more, they score more, they shoot better, they pass more, and they hit more threes. The data's in. Take an L. It'll make you better. I'm not saying Kyrie Irving, 2 minutes to go in the game, he's a special guy. But you got to win in this league. You got to get to the last 2 minutes of games for him to hit the shot. They're not as good with him.
Okay, so the phrase that struck me from Colin was the data is in. And that's correct up to this point. The data is in up to this point. So if we knew for sure that Kyrie was going to integrate with the Celtics the way he has up to this point, he's going to play the way he has up to this point with the Celtics, you could make the point, yeah, Celtics at least is good with that. It doesn't even need to be the Celtics are better. There's a lot of money being spent on Kyrie. So if the Celtics are equally as good without him, that's a heck of a statement. But can the Celtics win a title without Kyrie? And if not, don't they owe it to themselves to try to make it work? So let me give you a basic premise that I strongly believe. This is a truth that I don't think is really debatable. You need, in almost every case, a go-to, climb-on-my-back, nothing-is-going-to-stop-me type player to win the NBA title. Do a little exercise. Go to Google. Look at the NBA champions from 1980 onward, Bird and Magic onward, and look at the best player on each of the championship teams. I would make the case, and let's think about this now. Since 1980, it's been 38 years. I just did that in my head, Fez. Boom.
God, I'm getting old.
38 years since 1980. And I'd say there's less than 8 years that there wasn't a top three player in the NBA on the championship team. Just think about it. Bird on a bunch of them, three. Magic on five of them. Hakeem, when he won his two, for sure. Then you look at Tim Duncan. You look at Kobe and Shaq, however you want to talk about them. You look at LeBron. You look
Jordan.
You look at Jordan. Yeah, let's not leave out those six, right? Now, we could debate with the Pistons. Oh, was Isaiah? And maybe he was, but let's say maybe even not. Now, the exceptions you could say, Spurs a few years ago, even though Leonard was quite good, he wasn't clearly a top three player. You could make the exception of the Pistons in, what was it, 03, 04, when they had just a bunch of really good players, but not, oh my, he's the guy. But we're talking about 30 out of 38 years you need to climb on somebody's back. Why? Because there's going to be given points in a game seven where you need that score. And for the youngsters out there, and we love it when the youngsters listen, is go back to the final Jordan title, number six, and everyone remembers the shot and the pose. But if you watch the last 2 or 3 minutes of that game, it was game six, Utah at home. If they had won that game, Utah would have hosted game seven to win the title. And I can remember, strangely, the odds in that game six was right around pick'em. The assumption was Bulls were a little bit better. Game was in Utah. So game seven would have been right around pick'em. Imagine how different that Jordan legacy would be if he had lost that last one instead of 6-0. Very different. But what happened was he made an amazing play on defense, just stripped the ball like it was a little kid playing against him, went down, scored easily, got another stop, and then hit the shot we all remember.
And you talk about the best player can go into dad mode where he's just so dominant that at 100% effort, he can just will his team to victory in those key games.
And who are the teams that have a player that can go into dad mode? Well, obviously Golden State, and the fact that Durant and Curry, you could make the case that they're both in the top three. I wouldn't, but boy, they're right there, right? Obviously, LeBron's won it recently, and he's been in the number one in those years, especially when he won it. And then, you know, you could see Harden. You could see Harden doing it today. And that's why it's very possible last year that the Houston could have won the title. If it weren't for the injury of Chris Paul, Houston had a heck of a chance to win, but they would have had one of the top three players. So if it's not Kyrie, now Kyrie's not top three. Where's Kyrie right now, Fez, on your list?
Kyrie's right around 13, 14.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
And where do you put Tatum?
Tatum, borderline top 20.
So you're 17. Saying the difference between... I'm RJ Bell, and this is me, RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. This is Steve Fezzik. Fezzik, you're saying Kyrie at the, and again, let's be very specific. There's 2 minutes left. You're down one. You need a score. You're saying Kyrie and Tatum are in the same ballpark.
I did not say that.
Okay, so let's change the question a little bit. You need that last score. You need that guy to go into dad mode. Kyrie versus Tatum, Kyrie's clearly better.
Much better, yes.
So here's the question. Boston, with about as deep as a team as you're going to see in the modern NBA, maybe possibly has a player good enough to be that go-to player. I'm not sure he is, but I know Kyrie's the best option Boston has. It strikes me that, yes, up to this point, maybe Kyrie hasn't contributed much when you add it all up net-net. But if somehow Stevens is as good of a coach as we think he is, if he can somehow massage the situation so come the conference finals in the East, that Kyrie's feeling good enough to engage and be that player, the odds for the Celtics to win the title go up significantly, as opposed to just being a very deep team that can win a lot of regular season games but doesn't have that guy to get him over the top. Thoughts?
I think it's a strong assessment that basically there's a difference between the regular season and the postseason. So if you look at the regular season data with Kyrie, Celtics are outscoring their opponents only by about 5 per game. Without him, small data, but they're outscoring their opponents by 10. Whoa, what's this? Well, what's happening, I think, is that all the other players get so excited. Scary Terry Rozier gets more minutes. Marcus Smart gets more minutes. Brown gets more minutes. And during the regular season, all these guys get engaged. The games that Irving is out. However, in the playoffs, everybody plays super hard.
That's Steve Fezzik. We are straight out of Vegas. And it's a good segue quickly to something fun we did on our weekly podcast. And we did over 2 hours deep dive, just recorded last night. You can go to any, your favorite podcast player, search for RJ Bell. You're going to see two podcasts. One, Straight Out of Vegas. Get this, baby, because if you can't listen every minute, why miss any picks or good information? Also, the Dream Preview, which is our deep dive. We had an auction. What we did was we said, okay, there's 4 teams that almost have the same odds to win the East. We've got Boston, Toronto, Philadelphia, Milwaukee. And what we ended up doing was say, okay, guys, how much are you willing to pay extra to put in the pot with a last longer bet, right? So whoever lasts longer amongst the 3 we pick, the winner takes the whole pot. The question is, how much are you willing to put into the pot in order to have the first pick? Fez, being greedy, being the wealthiest among us, he does have a mansion and a yacht. He bid for the number 1 pick, and you took?
Fear the deer. I took Milwaukee.
30 seconds, make your case why Milwaukee, in your mind, is the favorite in the East.
Well, I really like the fact that they're likely to get the number one seed. They have the best record right now. They pick up Mirotić, and that's going to be an easier path for them. And also, frankly, I just have concerns about the other three teams, the Boston chemistry. I've got concerns about Toronto and their guard play in the playoffs and their past failings. And who knows, Philly, this dream team lineup, we've seen this fail for other teams in past years.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, a report came out from ESPN's Ramona Shelburne earlier today that over the past several years, NFL owners have reached out to NBA Commissioner Adam Silver to see if he would consider leaving his job with the NFL and moving over to the NBA. So far, Silver has said no. What does Vegas make of the conversations between the NFL owners and Adam Silver?
Yeah, and to me, there is a huge Vegas element to this conversation. And the reason is Adam Silver deserves a ton of credit for starting the move towards acceptance. Legalization, the Supreme Court, that was a legal matter, right? But this is a matter of hearts and minds, public perception. And years ago, and I mean years ago, Adam Silver wrote an op-ed in the New York Times saying the following. Hey, listen, a ton of gambling happens anyway. Maybe we wish it didn't, but it does. So the question becomes, how are we going to deal with it? Plus, and maybe most importantly, this was in the midst of the daily fantasy sports boom, where owners had ownership, and still do in some cases, in DFS sites, and leagues were taking money. There was all kind of business connections with daily fantasy. Now, we know that billionaires, and especially team owners, and quite frankly, especially NFL owners, hypocrisy doesn't bother them. They're still eating their foie gras and their frog legs, probably exotic animals from Africa that's not even allowed to be killed, fried up with garlic. I mean, Mr. Burns style, we could look at these owners and kind of say, oh, look how evil they are. And I think a lot of the times that's unfair to them. But when it comes to hypocrisy, oh, they're very comfortable with it. In the NFL, they've made so much, so many billions, billions off of gambling, but still they're going to act all above it. To this day, to today, where they're making deals, Caesars, MGM, all these different data relationships, in quotes, data relationships. And I was talking to an old friend of mine, Dave Singer, great guy, used to be in LA radio, now he's with the NFL Network. And Dave was like, yeah, he goes, I don't see, you know, on the media side, a lot of gambling talk on our network. And it's like, really? I go, there's deals being made. The Raiders are going to be there, and you know, in Vegas. And he's like, yep, I hear you. Nope. It's like they are going to be the NFL as hypocritical as they can be for as long as they can be. And the only time they'll stop is when the money's big enough for them to stop. And it's big enough in some ways. Raiders coming, perhaps in-game betting, but things like media, oh, have an NFL Network guy come on Straight Out of Vegas? No. Have a Vegas guy go on the NFL Network? No. Hypocrites. Now, that's the NFL. On the other hand, the NBA, they said, well, wait a minute, and this was in Silver's op-ed in the New York Times years ago, how crazy is this for us to say, well, yeah, you can bet on these players, but you can't bet on the teams. If anything, if you're worried about integrity, corruption, players are, it's easier to get to one player than it is to get to a whole team. Now, I get it. In theory, one player could affect the whole team. But in football, especially, if it's not the quarterback, I mean, surely a safety could miss a few tackles and it would be. But boy, if it's just one player in daily fantasy, pretty easy to get to that guy. So to me, at minimum, you could say, however quote unquote bad you think sports betting is, daily fantasy is the same. To act like daily fantasy is somehow more moral, less of a problem, is absurd. And Silver was the first one of the commissioners to admit that. He got out ahead of it. And to me, it made it easier for others to start to have an honest conversation about it. Who knows where we would be today if it weren't for Silver? Give him credit. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, recapping the Silver to NFL rumors. So now, isn't it interesting that the league, the NFL, that's the most legacy, the most old school, old money, old ways, we're going to be the last to do things because we don't need to do them early. The idea that there's at least some owners that want a Silver type, an Adam Silver type, is a sign, I think, of a struggle within the NFL, old school versus new school. So I think right now the old school probably still, in fact, most certainly I would say, is still in control, still got the power. But the very fact that this is a conversation, I think, is a good sign that the NFL is at least realizing maybe they're a little too stodgy, maybe they're a little too set in their ways, and a guy like Silver could help.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. It is the final night of action in the NBA before the All-Star break. We have a TNT matchup between the Thunder and the Pelicans in New Orleans, tipping off at 8 Eastern time. And right now on pregame.com, Oklahoma City is a 4.5-point favorite.
Steve Fezzik, who originates in the NBA and the NFL, what do you got?
I like Oklahoma City. I bet Oklahoma City -4.5. New Orleans, unmotivated, likely to be disengaged right before the All-Star break. The Anthony Davis trade demands destroyed the chemistry on this team. Davis was hurt. He's come back now. He's played 3 games since this whole circus hit. And New Orleans is 0-3 against the spread since Anthony Davis returned, and he's playing limited minutes. And on the flip side, Oklahoma City, they are surging. 11-1 straight up. 10-2 against the spread. Now, normally, RJ, I'd be very concerned about a team playing great. Here comes that All-Star break. Oh, they might take this game out. But the Russell Westbrook, historical run here with this triple-double streak, he wants to continue this. And let's think about this. I like betting on a player that's trying to get a triple-double. I don't want to bet on Houston and Harden because here are guys just trying to get 30 points. But Westbrook's trying to get rebounds. He's trying to get his teammates assists. He's got to get 10 assists to his teammates. He's got to get 10 rebounds. I expect Westbrook's going to play out of his mind this game to try to keep the streak continuing.
Okay, but see, that's such a fascinating debate because on one hand, pregame.com's research came up with some great numbers we talked about at length yesterday. Check out the podcast. Just search for RJ Bell on your podcast player and you'll see Straight Out of Vegas. On Wednesday's show, we uncovered against the spread and straight up, Westbrook did, when he was achieving a triple-double, the team did much better. OKC won more games, and they covered more games. So that falls into your logic, Fez. But on the other hand, I think we all agree, if a team's mindset isn't on winning, but rather it's on, uh-oh, Westbrook needs 2 more rebounds. Maybe I shouldn't really aggressively go for that ball. How can that be a positive? So how do you balance those two?
Well, I think Westbrook is going to be playing so hard just to grab more rebounds. And also, let's face it, Westbrook's a little bit of a ball hog. In the playoffs, he shoots too much. I love the fact that he's more focused on facilitating his teammates with assists.
Okay, so what you're saying is if you could have a Westbrook who was exactly like he is now, quite frankly, a Westbrook Colin Cowherd just beats on day after day. He'll say, you know, I got nothing against him, and then spend 10 minutes being very hard on him. If you could have that Westbrook, the current Westbrook, or one just as talented, just as everything except, I don't really care about those stats because I'm a team guy. I care about us winning. Which Westbrook would you rather have?
Well, I want the Westbrook that doesn't care about his points and is more about
the
team.
Okay, so what you're saying is, this is fascinating. What you're saying is, usually we think about someone caring too much, players caring too much about stats. That leads to selfish play. And what you're saying is, with these stats specifically, the idea of a triple-double, a lot of it, especially assists, is not selfish. So it takes away a lot of the problems a stat-seeking player has.
Exactly.
So all in all, you bet and like Oklahoma City tonight.
Guys, the Warriors' five-game winning streak is long gone after the Portland Trail Blazers beat Golden State 129-107 Wednesday night in Portland. So, RJ, what do you take from Golden State's final game before the All-Star break?
I think this is a great moment to talk about what I call the last day before vacation phenomenon. We've all remember high school, last day before vacation, wasn't a lot of studying going on. Fez might have been playing chess in the corner, but the rest of us weren't. Fez, how does the Golden State game apply yesterday and two other games tonight we haven't talked about? How do they apply quickly?
Yeah, so Golden State was on a 16-1 straight up run, pretty much have the number one seed all locked up in the West. They're three games ahead, and you could see they had basically had their bags packed here. Yeah, they wanted to win the game, and they were scoring, but they were playing very limited defense. And then the fourth quarter, when Portland came at them, Golden State looked like they just wanted to go home. In fact, Steve Kerr got teed up. He wasn't happy to be there. And we saw Portland beat Golden State 35-12 in the fourth quarter. Golden State took the fourth quarter off. They started their All-Star break one quarter early.
Okay, so with the two games other than OKC, which you like, do you see any team particularly susceptible to having the last day of school phenomenon?
I think the Knicks are susceptible. The Knicks, frankly, are tanking. They got the worst record in the NBA. They've lost 18 games in a row, and I think they might even be happy about that. Some of the Knicks, at least the management, and now all of a sudden,
the idea of tanking for the draft choice.
Yes, they want to have the worst record in the NBA, and here's what's interesting. Now, some thought Atlanta was tanking, RJ, but look at where Atlanta is in the standings. They have 19 wins. So the team above them has 23. The team below them, 14. Atlanta's locked into their ping pong ball situation. Atlanta is still playing hard. I think Atlanta wants to go into the break with another win.
Okay, and that's the way you got to look at each of these teams. Brad, real quick, a lot of Lakers talk going to be over the weekend when there's not many games. If you look at the odds, and they're out right now, who will be the Lakers coach next season? Tell us the favorites.
It's not the current head coach, Luke Walton. It's actually Jason Kidd plus 300. So 100 wins you $300. Jason Kidd, the favorite. Next up, Tyronn Lue plus 350. Then the current head coach, Luke Walton's plus 425, followed by Mark Jackson plus 500.
If you want some long shots, Coach K 16-1 or Magic Johnson 33-1. I'll tell you, I remember when Magic, I think it was 95, took over as coach for the Lakers. Oh boy, was he, there were some tired legs on that team. Magic made sure they were in great, great shape. You know, I tell you this, look up Magic after he missed a few years, what his stats were. He came back like for 30 games. He was pretty darn good.